If you'll turn with me this evening to the book of Matthew in chapter 25, almost toward the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 25, and we'll begin reading in just a moment in verse number 14. Matthew chapter 25, beginning at verse number 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance, but from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We usually on Sunday evenings have people in the assembly that have spent time in Bible study. Usually those who have decided to be here again on Sunday night do so on purpose. You don't just accidentally stumble in. And it tells all of us something about the rest of us, and that is we have a real interest in Bible matters, in Bible things, in Bible knowledge, and in understanding what God wants us to see. And having said that, I realize that this isn't a new parable to any of us. We've been over it time and time again. From time immemorial, it seems. And yet I thought it might do as well to spend just a few minutes with it again this evening and perhaps see it from a slightly different angle than we sometimes look at it from. One of the difficulties we so often have is deciding what these talents even are. Because we colloquially talk about talents being abilities. And yet we know from the time that Jesus was speaking of and the time in which he lived on this earth, that's not what the word meant. These were not so much matters of currency, but matters of weights of currency. You had talents of copper and talents of silver and talents of gold, amounts or weights of these materials, which were then used as currency. And probably these talents were talents of silver, the most common of those used, which gives us an idea at first of the magnitude of what had been given to their charge. But before we get to that, sometimes we say, well, it's all about money because he talks about talents. But no, it's a parable teaching something beyond just that, though it includes that. And then we say, well, really, talents in our language means ability. So he's talking about our talents, our abilities of what we do. And that, too, is not true, except it is part of what is being talked about. The larger picture here is not about any one aspect of our lives. It's about the totality of the blessings God gives us, all of which blessings are to be used for his purposes, to, as we said this morning, do good, to make a difference, to shine as lights, to build upon themselves. But just with respect to the parable itself, a talent of silver was no small thing. It was worth, at that time, about 6,000 denarii, which means nothing to a lot of us because we don't work in denarii. We talk about dollars and cents and quarters and dimes and nickels, no longer pennies. But it brings it home when we realize that at that time, roughly a day's labor was worth one denarii. One day's work, one denarius. And so that being the case, 6,000 for one talent is, you can do the math, is close to 20 years of labor. We're talking a lot of money. Take your salary for when you used to work or working now and multiply that number by 20. And you've got one talent in this parable. And as you see, one was given five, one was given two, and one was given the one. Don't believe that person that received the one talent got some paltry sum. It was a great sum. Which leads us to the first thing I think sometimes we overlook in getting to the meat of this message. And that is the fact that all of that which the Lord gave in this story was a phenomenal amount, more than could really be understood by most of our Lord's hearers. If you talk to these ordinary working people about this kind of a story where the lowest person on the rung of responsibility is given 20 years worth of responsibility over that amount, it would just completely explode the minds of those who heard it now, much less then. And so we have to understand that's the first point they got from listening to this parable, that all of these amounts, the one talent, the two talent, the five talent, all of these were way past anybody's understanding. Most of them would never at one time see even one complete talent of silver's worth at one time in one place. But you go back to what the parable's about. It's not about money, as we say, but money's included. It's not about abilities, although abilities and that kind of talent is included. It's about everything God has blessed us with, physically and spiritually. And it tells us that that over which he gives us stewardship. And of course, that word itself means that we are in charge of that which does not belong to us, but belongs to another. And everything we have, physically and spiritually, we have because the Lord has allowed us to use his own for his purposes at our disposal of decision. And so how much has God blessed us with? Well, you might say, well, I'm not a five-talent person in terms of my blessings, in terms of my opportunities, my responsibilities then. I'm not a five-talent person with respect to what I can do or what I have to offer. I'm not a five-talent person. Let's say that's true. Let's say all of us are just one-talent people. Back in the story itself, that one-talent servant was given 20 years' worth of wages at one time to look over, to be responsible for. He was given more than he could imagine having responsibility over, which means the very least of us have much more than we imagine that we are responsible for. Without all of that being said, sometimes I think we get caught in the trap of saying, well, I'm just a one-talent person, so because of that, there's not a lot expected of me, not a lot I can do. Of course I can. I just have one talent, and we end up just like the man in the parable. And you know what happens with him. But we think we're excused because we just have the one. Well, no, God has blessed all of us in ways beyond our understanding. And one next thing we learn from this is the fact that the talents are given based upon, and you can see here yourself the words, to his own ability. What that means is God gives you what he knows you're able to work with. He doesn't give you that which is beyond your ability to work with. Yes, you have what you have because of God's blessing in your life. Everything good you have is because God has been good to you to bless you with it. But everything he blesses you with is based upon God's understanding of what you, with his help, can do with it. And because of that, you have varying peoples, varying disciples, with various amounts of blessings they're able to use. And that's just the facts of the case. There are those who have a lot more money than others. That's just the facts. There are those who have a lot more positions and opportunities of influence over others than the rest of us. Those are just the facts. There are some with abilities that the rest of us will never have. Those are just the facts. And God gives to each one what he knows that individual can use, can do, can expand with and expound upon based upon each one's abilities. And so we know two things already. Number one, we have much more than we ever imagined having, and what we have, God knows that we're able to do something with it because he gave it to us based upon our ability to use it and to build on it. Before we go any further, let's sing a song together. Turn, if you would, to 634. Because one thing that the five-talent man and the two-talent man do that the one-talent man does not, they live up to the song we're about to sing. We'll work till Jesus comes. O land of rest for thee, back to the parable itself, we see some things here that we must not miss concerning the matter of decisions we make, responsibilities we have, as expressed here in the story, and we extrapolate them to us all this way in the future that we're living. It's very clearly seen that these talents, they are given by the Lord, the master of the story, because they belong to him. And they're given to the servants not as gifts for them to have and hold and possess, but as matters of stewardship they have responsibility concerning. And the five-talent individual realizes that, and he does something with the talents he's given. The two-talent man realizes that and does something with the two talents he's been given. And the amount really is beside the point of what the parable is teaching. It's not suggesting that in every case, to be faithful, we have to double what God has given us. It does suggest that we put out some effort to do something with what the Lord has given us. And as I say, we're not talking just money, though money's included. And we're not talking just about abilities or talents, as it were, because that too is included. But we're talking about everything. There's nothing in your life that is a good blessing of your life that is just that, without also being a measure of responsibility. And yes, a measure of the Lord's testing to see, what will my child do with this? What will my child do with the blessing I'm offering? Will they use it for themselves? Will they be so afraid to use it at all they do nothing with it at all? What will my child do with this talent, this blessing I'm offering? And as I say, let's just assume, for sake of argument, though I don't agree with it, but I'll assume it, that all of us are just one talent people. Nothing more, just poor, one talent Christians. But as we've already seen, that talent is so much compared to what we think of as being a lot. There's no such thing as a Christian with no blessings, no opportunities, no possibilities. There's no such thing. It's impossible to imagine that situation. All of us, every time you enjoy a physical blessing, every time you enjoy a spiritual blessing, and the Bible says we have both, we thank the Lord every day for our daily bread. And we are in awe of our spiritual blessings, which are so abundant in Christ Jesus, referred to in Ephesians 1:3 as all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Everything we have been blessed with, we're expected to do something with that. To do something for good with that. It means we should do something beyond just for us, more than just being selfish with it or fearful because of it, to take an inventory. And that's the first thing perhaps we should do. The five talent man knew he had five talents, and so he knew when they had doubled. The two talent man knew he had two. That's why he knew he had doubled them when he had the four. The one talent man knew he had just been given one talent. Perhaps the first thing we should do is take inventory. Just how has the Lord blessed me? We can compare that with those who have less in other parts of the world. Those who have less even closer to home than we are. Those who have less influence than we have. Those who have less opportunities than we have. Less free time than we have. And then realize every blessing God gives us is expected to be seen as a stewardship. because it doesn't belong to us. It belongs to Him. And He's given us this blessing. He's given us this opportunity. He's given us this talent. He's given us this potential, and He is waiting to see what will they do with it. Which brings us to what makes the difference in all of these servants. The difference is not so much the amount. The amount of what's there at the end or what's there at the beginning. The difference is the choices that each servant makes. How does the five-talent man double his amount? I hope you're not quick to answer, because there is no answer. It's not a fair question. We don't know. What does he do? We don't know. What does the two-talent man do to double his? We don't know. We simply don't know. But I do know this, they do something. They give it their best. They do their best. They put one foot in front of the other and they do something. And what the Bible teaches us in all three dispensations and in both testaments is this. When we take that first step and do that first something with all of our might, with all of our faith, the Bible uses words like, if God be for us, who can be against us? Words like, with God all things are possible. Words like, He's my very present help in trouble. Words like, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. All the things we can do with the Lord's help if we just decide, make a choice, to use what we've been blessed with in a productive way. To bless others, to strengthen our own spiritual lives, to make a difference, to shine as lights, to be a good example, to give a word of encouragement, to offer a word of help, to offer actual help, to make a difference. And one thing the five-talent man and the two-talent man know, they know that something has been expected, and so they do something with what they've been given. The one-talent man, he's full of excuses. Why not? And the main excuse is, well, it's his Lord's fault. That's basically what he's saying. I know the kind of person you are. I know you're hard to please, and I know that you're getting results that you haven't put the work in for. You're having others work for you, and you are a hard taskmaster. And his Lord, his master, does not get into the back and forth about that kind of thing, but just says to him, you are wicked and you are lazy. And those are two words we don't usually put together. We think of somebody wicked as being violent and vengeful, somebody who causes great mayhem and mischief in the lives of others, a wicked person who is obsessed with filth and the things of this world, sordid, sinful situations. Whereas a lazy person, well, that wonderful old character in Petticoat Junction, remember? Here's Uncle Joe. He's moving kind of slow at the junction. He's just a kindly old guy that's a little lazy. We don't have any problem with lazy people. We just kind of wish they'd pick up the pace a little bit. But Jesus puts them together. Who is a wicked person? It's a lazy person. What is a lazy person? It's a wicked person. And why? Because out of fear, and perhaps other reasons as well, for whatever reason, it doesn't matter, because the reason is nothing more than just excuse, the man does nothing. He simply sits on what he has. In this case, he buries what he's been given and does nothing. what the Lord expects of us is not great results, great strides of performance. He expects decisions and choices. And if there's one word that encapsulates this entire story, it's that. It's choice. The five-talent man chooses to do something. The two-talent man chooses to do something. And the one-talent man chooses to do something. Trouble is, his something is nothing but burying the talent, sitting on it, and making nothing from it. Turn to 696, and I'll warn you before you get there. You're going to turn to 696, and you're going to say to yourself, you might even say to the person next to you, we don't know that one. We don't say that. Because this is one of those rare times when a song you don't know is one you know well. Because it's the same tune of another song we do know well. Love divine, all else excelling. That's the same tune exactly that goes to this song, 696. And so you don't know the words, perhaps, but you do know the melody. Let's sing together, 696. But before we do that, I want you to notice a few of the words we're about to sing. To every man and nation comes the moment to decide. There's your choice. In the strife of truth with falsehood for the good or evil side, some great cause, come great decision. Offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever, twixt the darkness and the light. Now, you'll notice I just read it the way it's written. It's a misprint in your songbook. I spent a little time looking something up this last week. And by a little time, more than was necessary. But I just went down a rabbit hole. Because I knew that didn't make sense. And I knew the author of these words must have had sense in mind. And not nonsense. Some great cause, come great decision. It should be some great cause, some. And the S turned into a C there. And so we'll sing it the way it's supposed to be and just realize there was a typographical error that got through all the additions to this one. And so some great cause, some great decision, which comes down to the very point we're making. We reach points every day in our lives, some small, some large, some seemingly insignificant, others so consequential, but all of them require decision on our part. What will we do about this? Where will we go from here? What will we do with this blessing God's given to us? And that decision, that choice we make, makes all the difference. Not just in what happens next, but in what happens within us and how the Lord sees us as one of His people. 696. Once to every man and nation comes the moment to decide. In the strife of truth with falsehood, for the good or evil side, some great cause, some great decision, offering each the bloom or blight, and the choice goes by forever, twixt that darkness. might make a mental note. Take a look at that song. He sang through it, and it's hard to really pay attention to all the meat and meaning of the words as you sing, especially for the first time. But there are a few songs we have that have more substance to them than the one we just sang. Basically, it's saying from verse to verse, leading up even to martyrdom itself, that the choices we make for right, to do the best we can with what we have, to stand for truth in times of chaos and unfaithfulness. It may cost us a lot right now, but oh, the blessings afterward. Oh, the wonderful things when the Lord returns and sees what we've done with what is given to us. And that judgment is what matters. That time of recompense is what matters. The choices may be tough right now, but tough choices lead to wonderful results. And easy, soft, and lazy choices lead to disastrous results. Let's do all we can with all we have, with all the time we have left, to the best of our ability and with the help of God. If you're with us tonight and outside of Christ, change that. Please, this evening, do that. Or if you've walked away from your Christian responsibilities and duties and need to come back, what better time than now? But if you need to come, come now, as together we stand and sing.